James.
Yes, Cody.
It is finally here and gone.
That's true.
The draft. It has happened.
Man, it was a fun weekend.
And it's over.
So sad. Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, James, I am fantastic. I'm feeling much better now that the draft is here and gone, and I got to know who we got, and moving on from there. Again, we'll get into how we feel about the actual draft, but we did enjoy it, and we got to watch day three together, which was nice. Day one and two were a little heckful. I don't know.
Some busy lives
they were
going
busy.
On, man. We got stuff going on. Taking advantage of the opportunity, we told you guys we would do a Facebook Live tonight, so we are going to field questions as we're going here. Thank you, Doug Brown, for already joining in on the chat here with us. He asked if we enjoyed the draft. Heck yeah.
Yes, we definitely enjoyed the draft. It's always fun seeing who Pittsburgh gets picked up every year. The problem is whether or not we get the guys we want, which we'll get to this later, but James and I did hit on three things, two guys specifically, but three things total. So that was really, really nice. Actually, four.
It depends on if you're going to count the undrafted guys, too.
Yeah, very true.
If you count that, well, then hey, we did all right.
We did do all right. But before that, we obviously always have the Steelers by the Lake news. So first off, two new Facebook likes. James, go ahead and read those for
us. Number one, Oscar Pratt. Number two, Don Gilbert. Thanks for joining the family.
Absolutely. And a new Podbean follower, Velio.
Velio!
We appreciate that as well. Always like to see our Steelers by the Lake family growing, and we are super excited to share our input about the NFL draft and the Steelers picks with you today. But again, now we have to move on to Steelers news before we get too far. So big thing, Colbert now says that Chukwuma Okorafor is penciled in at the left tackle position. Even though we just drafted a left tackle. I don't get that.
Well, this was the press conference before the draft.
That's true.
So at that stage, I mean, you had him and you had Zach Banner, and that's about it. So he definitely was going to be a starter on one side. You just didn't know whether they were planning on putting someone on the left or on the right. Now we got a little bit of clarification going into the draft. Mr. Harry Harper has joined us and asks, what would you give the Steelers draft grade, Cody?
I don't think it's not too much to say a draft grade overall. We'll still go over the specific players, but I would probably give them a solid B. Not a B+, not a B-. I think they went, we both, James and I both agreed that they could have gone earlier and more often with offensive linemen. However, I understand the push for Najee Harris. I understand that you get the number one overall guy. A lot of people have issues with it. I still have some issues with it, but I also understand why they did it. Benny Snell isn't proven. Granted, he hasn't had the chance to be a proven guy. I don't know. I'm still iffy on a couple things, but I still think it's a B grade. They still addressed a lot of positions of need, and a lot of the guys they got, I do feel, have the potential to be a Kevin Dotson, where they come in and they are, you know, they play better than where they were drafted at, for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty similar to where Cody's at on this. I would probably also go a B. I'm not going to go a B+ or an A. I'm not going to go super homer on it. I've made it pretty public and pretty clear that I did not want a running back high. But if you're going to do it, man, Najee is as complete of a running back as it gets. So even if you didn't want a running back in the first round, you have to be happy with the quality of player you're getting from him. And Pat Freiermuth, I was ecstatic about that, being a Penn State fan also. And then they at least addressed needs maybe a little out of order of how we would like. And maybe, you know, when they took the center in the third round, there were some other guys we would have preferred over top of them. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, we're not professional scouts. We're not coaches. We didn't get there and get in front of these guys on the blocking pads. So it's tough to say what they saw in those pro days.
You know? And we don't even get all the film that they get. They get intense breakdowns that, I mean, Mike Tomlin was interviewed about it, and he talked about how he thought their scouts went out and came back with great information. We don't get that information. We have to use our own eyes, our own ears, see what we read online and see the numbers they perform. Pro days are great for getting, you know, the athleticism of a guy, but that doesn't tell you football IQ. That doesn't tell you their heart in the moment. I mean, we talked about it last year with our offensive line. If the two offensive linemen we drafted have 100% more heart and passion and drive after, like, when the running back gets stuffed up in a hole to push him, these guys could start over anyone on the line. I'd be happy with it, because that was a huge issue we had last year, was our guys just didn't want to do that. So I think it's hard to give an overall assessment until we get to see some play. But as far as the draft is, I don't agree with the ESPN guys, Mel Kiper, who's saying we got the lowest draft grade. We addressed needs, maybe out of order, sure. But, you know, we lost James Conner, who was our number one back. We went out and got a number one back day one. We lost our backup tight end. We went out and got a starting backup tight end day one. same thing with the offensive line. These guys could, both of these guys could easily start year one, depending. With the loss of Marquise Pouncey, Kendrick Green is probably going to be either starting, you know, starting in that position, unless they do something with Dotson and he switches over to guard. That's easily a starter. And Dan Moore Jr. easily could be a starter at left or right tackle year one, depending on how he performs in preseason and stuff like that. And it's depth we needed anyways. We lost two, possibly three cornerbacks. We got a, you know, what did Tomlin say? The Swiss Army knife.
The Swiss Army knife.
So, I don't want to go too far, because we're still going to go through these guys, but I think overall we had a good draft.
Yeah, pretty solid. More draft news, or should I say more news previous to the draft. The Steelers did opt to do the fifth-year option on Minkah Fitzpatrick's contract. So we will have him for an additional year. This upcoming season is the fourth year for both Minkah and Terrell Edmonds. So we will get to see at least the fifth year from Minkah. They've only got like one more day if they want to do it with Terrell Edmonds. I think it's the third. So if they're going to do it, they got to do it now. Otherwise, that's not going to happen. And then news from Alan Faneca, Cody.
Yeah, so Alan Faneca, obviously going into the Hall of Fame this year, he announced that his presenter, the person that comes up and presents the Hall of Fame, the golden jacket and everything for him, is going to be Hines Ward, which is, I think, the biggest bro move you could ever have out of an old teammate. You know, Hines Ward's been, you know, the finalist for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, maybe been longer? More.
Yeah, maybe
more,
four.
I'm not sure.
So that was awesome for him, and Hines Ward's going to get up there, and you know, James was telling me before, he's like, you know, Alan Faneca's going to say something about Hines Ward not being in the Hall of Fame yet. So,
Hines probably won't say anything during his presentation, but I bet you Faneca will mention something about, oh yeah, the whole reason I've got a ring is because of you being the Super Bowl MVP and that kind of thing. And
yep.
he's going to shout him out, no doubt, to try to help get him in.
Absolutely. And then last news before we go into the draft, Mason Rudolph with a one-year extension. That is a $5 million base pay with $4 million as incentive options. I shouldn't say options, incentive goals for him. So if we don't do anything else about the quarterback position and Ben retires this year, Mason Rudolph has a good chance of making some money, up to $9 million in that 2022 season.
Nice contract for Mason.
It's a nice contract. I still want somebody new.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I do too, but I think Mason is a number two, is a solid number two. And at least you have a guy that in his career so far has 15 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, which is not a god-awful rate. That's at least a better than average rate. So you got,
it's like
something
a Terry Bradshaw rate, so whatever.
It's better than Terry Bradshaw, man. Bradshaw had like, he was like 212 touchdowns to 208 picks or vice versa. Like, yeah, it was not awesome.
I'm trying not to too hard push back and push against the, you know, the whole Mason Rudolph thing, because we thinking back, Peyton Manning had one of the worst rookie seasons ever. I think Peyton Manning threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns his rookie year. And Mason hasn't gotten a phenomenal job to start yet. You know, when he wound up starting, it wasn't like a planned thing. They didn't expect that. So I'm trying not to be too hard on Mason Rudolph in this situation, but I think it's just after watching him and not seeing, we were spoiled in Pittsburgh for the last 20 years, okay? Maybe not 20, getting close to that. You know, Ben came in his rookie season and almost you know, almost got us to a Super Bowl, got us deep, like got us to the playoffs. And I shouldn't say deep, but I really think that I've been hard on Mason, and I don't mean to be. It's just, I think if Pittsburgh wants to do what the Rooney family says we always do, is we don't rebuild, we reload. Having a quarterback issue like the one I feel like we have isn't reloading at all. So again, I'm trying not to be too hard on Mason, but we'll have to wait and see what happens for sure. There were a few guys in this draft that I would make hay with, but that's beside the point because we don't get them.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the draft. James, do you want to go ahead and start us off with round one? We already talked about it a little bit, but...
Yeah, so first round, everyone knows by now, Pittsburgh decided to take the number one running back in the draft, according to most folks, in Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. Big dude, man. Kind of reminds me of Derrick Henry a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He's a big boy.
He's not quite that big, but he's big.
He's close.
He's very close.
He's only like 10 pounds lighter than him.
That's true.
He runs hard like him.
I think the biggest thing here with this pick that...
Got hands like Antonio Brown.
That's a stretch.
He's a really good receiving back.
He's a good receiving back. I think the biggest thing to remember here that James pointed out at when the draft happened was, okay, yes, the price point of a round one running back is high comparatively, but it's also low compared to giving someone a long-term deal at running back. So with this being said, we now have Najee Harris on a four-year deal. Because he's a first-round pick, you will get a fifth-round option. You could have a franchise back, a premier phenomenal back for 5 years at a really cheap deal. Best case scenario, I guess, let him go, draft somebody else or move somebody up and let somebody else pay him the big bucks. I hate to say it, but I actually enjoyed that input that James had because I was really struggling with why the heck did we go get this guy when there were really some good offensive linemen still on the board at 24. Just phenomenal guys that shouldn't have been there. And I mean, there were even some good cornerbacks still on the board, but I don't know. I like the pick now when I process it. I think it'll be an immediate. I mean, even if we had the same offensive line as last year, I think Najee Harris is an immediate upgrade from Benny Snell or James Conner. Even though James talked about Benny Snell last week, I believe, with the numbers that he had in college. It's a phenomenal back, but I think it'd be foolish of me to say that Najee still isn't an immediate upgrade.
Yeah.
From Benny Snell.
Yeah, realistically, as much as I like Benny Snell, I will obviously admit that Najee Harris is a better player than him. The potential that you get out of Najee is really high. And by the way, this is Najee Jerome Harris.
So Jerome Bettis, Franco Harris, he's got all the right names.
Yeah, a combination of both, the two best running backs in Steelers history. We got him in this guy, apparently. By name anyway, but yeah, when you watch him on tape, when you watch any of the games he played in, the ability to hurdle, like you saw a lot with Le'Veon Bell, some pretty serious jump cuts, man. He'll see a hole and just vertically jump over a couple of gaps. And it's really pretty impressive, for how he displays that kind of lateral agility from such a big guy. He's not going to be your Willie Parker super fast guy, but he's not slow either. So he is going to be kind of somewhere in the middle there. Should be plenty of broken tackles with him. And he actually shows a really good ability to pick up the blitz also.
Which is huge.
Which Pittsburgh values very highly, the ability for someone to pick up the blitz. Lots of good potential there. Like Cody was saying, you've got a young man that by the end of his rookie deal, if you do the fifth-year option, he's going to be about 29. So at that point, you don't typically give a 29-year-old running back a second deal anyway. So if you get an elite or upper-tier running back for the next 4 or 5 years, hey, then that's pretty good. Yeah. So I'll take that for sure. For those who are new joining into the Facebook live stream here, if you have any questions, go ahead and comment them in. Brittany Marie Varner, hi!
We appreciate the thanks people for hopping joining. In, absolutely. Moving on to the second round pick, James, in one of his mock drafts, said, I'm going to go weird here, and I'm going to draft a tight end in the first round. Well, guess what? Pittsburgh drafted the same guy that he thought they'd draft in the first and the second. Pat Freiermuth from Penn State should not have been available here. Hands down, second best tight end probably on the board for most people, yeah. I would assume.
Yeah, and only because the first one's an absolute freak athlete.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Hey, ran
have fun in Atlanta.
Like a low 4.440.
He's just a really thick wide receiver. Let's be real.
Yeah, well, he's like 6'5".
Well, he's not that thick. 245. You're right. He's
like,
pretty thin.
Yeah, he's like a small, awesome, athletic tight end, whatever. We got Pat Freiermuth, who is the best overall, all-around tight end in this draft class. He's a good blocker. He's a very reliable receiver. In 30 red zone catches over his college career, didn't drop the ball once. That's 30 catches, caught them all. That's 30 targets, I guess I should say.
Yeah, 30 targets in the red
zone. But you get the idea. This is somebody you can depend on in the red zone, which Pittsburgh's had an issue with converting in the red zone. This is a specialist in the red zone.
I think,
so we got a big running back who's going to be able to convert that short yardage stuff. And now a tight end that can block so you don't have to put an extra offensive lineman out there. And happens to be a really good receiving tight end as far as contested catches. And when you hit him, he does not want to go down. He likes to stay up.
Yeah. I think with him, the one thing I will say is he's still a better receiving tight end than he is a blocker. Maybe not by a lot, but from most of the stuff that I've looked at and seen, most of his highlights are not big block plays. He has the ability to block, but most of his highlights and most of his I guess usefulness comes from the receiving aspect. Mm-hmm. But again, I think day one, he'll be a better blocker than Vance, or not Vance McDonald, excuse me, because of the loss of Vance McDonald, he'll be a better blocker than Eric Ebron.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and you look at Ebron being in the last year of his deal this upcoming season. So as early as the 2022 season, Pat Freiermuth is the odds on favorite to be the new starting tight end. So you just go again next year, draft yourself another guy in the third or fourth round to be the number two. And you just keep it going, man. Let's keep it going. Maybe there's another tight end from Penn State coming out. I don't know.
We keep getting them, so whatever.
I'm in. Or maybe you bring back Jesse James. He's a free agent.
That's true.
Have him as the number
he
three
did move
tight
to
end.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I still don't know why, but we're working on figuring that out.
Let's bring him in, man. I'm in.
So third round, Pittsburgh drafted a center slash guard, has the option to play both. He's played both in college. Kendrick Green from Illinois. This was a guy that neither of us really had on our radar. And that's fine. I think that sometimes that's a good thing. Last year, we didn't talk much about Dotson before Pittsburgh got him. And
same with Alex Highsmith,
too. And they both wound up playing fairly well and fairly often, actually,
for the
first year.
And good enough that they're shoo-ins year two for the starting positions.
And I saw a neat fact. I actually saw a neat fact. When I was, day two, I had to go. I had like an alumni meeting with some of my friends from college. And I shouldn't say a meeting, but a get together. I actually almost forgot about it. But we all got together, and we were in Erie eating some food, and I was watching the draft as it came up. And last year's draft class, more third round draft picks played than first or second round draft picks.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Oh, plus, and I just want to throw this out there because of the negative energy Mel Kiper's trying to throw at the Steelers right now. That son of a gun. Last year after the draft, if you remember, nobody had Pittsburgh's draft class as a good one. Everyone had it as a poor draft class. The Steelers didn't do good, blah, 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 right? And then this year before this draft, people that are draft guys do redraft exercises, right? So they say, if we were going to do last year's draft all over again, what guys would go in the first round? And in every single one of them, the Steelers had three guys that went in the first round. Alex Highsmith, Kevin Dotson, Chase Claypool. I'm going to say that Pittsburgh actually nailed last year's draft.
Yep.
Because you got three starters in the second, third, and fourth round. Are you kidding me? That's pretty serious.
I think going back to what Harry Harper asked of like, what would you give the Steelers draft grade? I think in all honesty, it's hard to give anything below a B minus to a team that at least addresses the needs. Anything below that is a team that didn't draft the position they needed. Like if we would have came out and not drafted a offensive lineman, we would have gotten an F.
Like Dallas taking a middle linebacker when they don't have any starting corners.
Yeah.
Like that's really failing.
Don't get me wrong. They made a great pick at the middle linebacker, but they didn't address their needs.
Micah's the man, but you probably should have traded further back and taken the number three corner instead.
Yep.
But regardless, Kendrick Green shows a lot of athleticism. He is very strong in the lower half of his body. I actually saw a video of him squatting 700 pounds and doing it pretty easy. So well, then. Lower half explosion is a big thing for this guy. Strong enough, I want to say he had 25 reps on the bench, so that's an adequate strength in the upper half. Not real tall. He's only a little under 6'2 at 305 pounds. Is not a huge body. A little bit over 32 inches on his arm length, which is adequate on the inside, but you're definitely never going to kick him outside to tackle. I think the potential is there, especially at the center position, because you don't need to be quite as big, quite as long in the center position as you do in the guards. So I think you're one who will absolutely push BJ Finney for that starting job. I will not be surprised if he beats him out. And I will not be surprised if he really excels when you start doing the screen game. Look for Pittsburgh to really go towards the screen play this year to the running back.
You act like we didn't go to it last year, but that's fine.
It wasn't successful.
Half of them were to the wide receivers as well.
And you didn't have the athleticism that you're starting to get into. Pouncey was near the end of his contract. And let's be honest, he was playing on one leg half the year. How many times did he end up having to leave a game early because he was hobbled on the one leg? The one game, Ben kicked him out of the game. He said, get out of here. You don't need to keep on playing. We're going to win. Yeah. So now you got a young kid, very athletic, who excels on blocking on the move. And he's going to definitely compete for that center position. Next guy we took in the fourth round, Pittsburgh went to Texas A&M University for offensive tackle, Dan Moore Jr. Big guy, 6'5", 310 pounds. Nice long arms, too. He had like 34-plus-inch long arms, which is great for a tackle. And he is a left tackle by nature, going to have some position flexibility, able to play either side in the tackle scheme. And I would say just like that, our tackle room just got drastically better because Joe Haag is not that great of a tackle, and this gentleman is already better than him. If someone else from this roster can beat out Joe Haag, low-key, that's huge. Because if Joe Haag does not make the team, he falls out of the compensatory formula, and now you get an extra comp pick that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And let's not forget, Pittsburgh originally was projected to get a third round, a fifth round, and a sixth round, and one of those was eliminated by the signing of Joe Haag. So if Joe Haag does not make the team, now you've got a possibility of getting an extra late round pick, which with them giving one up to get one of the next draft picks here, that's actually an important thing, getting some additional compensatory picks. So that'll be real interesting to see. I like the potential on Dan Moore Jr. So we'll see where that is. What are your thoughts on Dan there, Cody?
Yeah, I felt like Dan Moore Jr. was a good pick, especially once I saw the actual performance. Like once I saw some videos and some highlights from him, he was not letting anybody around him. He had a very quick off the ball step back,
quick footwork,
without getting over, like over pursuing the edge or leaving a gap.
Overextending.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal job by him. I think I'm more excited about seeing him play than I am Najee Harris. I know that sounds dumb because it's like, hear me out. Last night I was watching so much film from this guy because I was literally bored playing Minecraft, whatever. but I started pulling up some highlight videos and watching, and I was like, this guy is quick off the ball. Like, I don't think Alejandro Villanueva.
When he was younger.
But I still think that it wasn't because he was fast. It was because he was big. And his step backs were so large. This guy isn't quite as big as Alejandro Villanueva is. But his ability to step back and then also help, like his ability to help other guys was phenomenal. Picking up double or like
busy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just really think that you're going to see Dan Moore Jr. In my opinion, this year is the steal of the draft. I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah. Some real nice potential. I want to say he had like 28 reps on the bench too. So, some good upper body strength there. I saw that in Kendrick Green's tape too. A lot of, if he didn't have someone in front of him, he'd go find somebody and go put him on the ground. So you got to love seeing that from your future offensive lineman here. That's one thing Coach Clem said in his press conference. He said, these are guys that are dogs. These are guys with that fighting mentality that are going to get out there and really try to bury somebody and put them into the ground and put them into the opponent's bench, that kind of thing. So gotta love seeing that kind of potential. And next draft pick, same college, Cody. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, same college, Texas A&M. We went with the off-ball linebacker, Buddy Johnson. Buddy Johnson is jacked.
yeah, he's in good shape, to say the least.
I don't think I was prepared to see us have an off-ball linebacker that probably was out the gates. I would maybe say stronger than Devin Bush. At least looks like it. Devin Bush is big. Don't get me wrong. For like how stout he is, but this guy is jacked.
Yeah, and only
he's still fast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
6 foot, 230 pounds, man. That's a new age style linebacker. That's your off the ball linebacker where you can run with the running backs, run with the tight ends, and really put a hurting on people. His best film seems to be between the tackles against the run, but has the ability with that high 4.5 40 yard dash speed to keep up with some quicker guys. So I'm really excited that they were able to add somebody late in the fourth to push the linebacker room and add some very valuable depth. Last year, the middle linebacker room just got devastated with injuries. Mm-hmm. Devin Bush went down for the season. Spillane went down for a month. UG3 was injured most of the year with two different injuries. And then the back injury crept back up on him just like it did previously. So really excited to see some more depth in that room and someone who may be able to compete for the starting job, if not this year, maybe the year after. So great to see. And then the next one, though, talk about a surprise. Pittsburgh did not have a fifth round draft pick this year. And then when you least expect it, here comes Pittsburgh. They trade a future fourth round pick to get a fifth round pick with the Miami Dolphins this year. And they go and get your guy that you mocked him in one of your mock drafts, Cody. Each of us only did three all year. That's it. And Cody nailed this one. He had him a later round, but I don't care about that. He nailed the player. That's the important thing. This is defensive end Isaiah Loudermilk from Wisconsin. Big boy, 6'7", about 290, 295.
He's a big boy, and that's what I said. If you go back March 8th's episode, I said, I think this was a bit, would have been the first seventh-round pick we had, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with Isaiah Loudermilk. He has the size, and you can go back and listen to James say this, he has the size to work in any position on our defensive line in that 3-4. It's going to be it's awesome to see that, you know, when we hit on guys like this, this was somebody that I never saw mocked on anybody else's draft for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me either.
So it's awesome to hit on this. But Isaiah Loudermilk again, I'm just going to call him Whole Milk. he's going to come in and have an immediate impact because he's going to be able to come in. And I think he's going to apply some good pressure to other quarterbacks, other teams, when we didn't really have that as much last year. You had a little bit with Henry Mondeau.
Yeah, you
but
did.
That was about it. You didn't see that at Carlos
Bugs
Davis.
Sometimes
Bugs a little bit, yeah. But this I think he's going to have an immediate impact on the team for sure. You're going to be able to get Cam Hayward, who's getting older, and Stephon Tuitt, even Tyson Alualu. They're both, all three of those guys are going to be able to take a little bit of breaks. And our defense isn't going to be missing that pass rush.
Yeah, and it's important to add some youth at positions like that where they're getting a little older, right? They keep on adding sixth and seventh round guys. Now they added a fifth round guy. We're moving in the right direction. Realistically, Tuitt and Hayward aren't going anywhere, and the nose tackle just got himself a 2-year deal, so you don't expect Tyson Alualu to go anywhere either. This is a younger guy, good size. Now he gets the opportunity to attempt to learn from Cam Hayward, from Stephon Tuitt, and let's see if he can turn into something. You know, we got a really good defensive line coach in Carl Dunbar, so let's see if these experienced guys can really turn him into something. Because you got four guys that are basically locks, Chris Wormley, and then you're starting three. Now Loudermilk jumps into the room, and you've got Henry Mondeau as the other probably high potential backup defensive end. And then Carlos Davis and Isaiah Bugs, the more recent draft picks from previous years at the D-tackle that will also be competing for positions on the team. So nice addition to the room. Pittsburgh felt highly enough about him that they did not want to take the chance of him not making it to the sixth round. So you got to trust the process, trust that their opinion of him is good, and we'll see where he goes.
Yeah. The next pick was a outside linebacker that I believe we talked about before, but none of us actually mocked him being drafted by Pittsburgh. We were interested in him. He was an option a couple times, and we debated on taking him, but we never actually did. Quincy Roche. So
yeah,
Quincy, I like the pick.
Yeah, it was a great pick. Anytime I saw Quincy Roche in a mock draft, it was always like third or fourth round. So to get him in the sixth round is excellent value. You put on the tape, this is a guy who played most of his career at Temple and then transferred to Miami his senior year, got stuck behind Greg Rousseau and Phillips, the other outside linebacker, edge, whatever you want to call him.
That both went super early in the draft.
Yeah, they were two of the highest rated edge prospects in this year's draft. So he only got four sacks this year. But what you see from him is a guy that's excellent with his hands. If you lunge to block him, he will swipe your hands away every single time and not get blocked. Some pretty excellent moves as far as his inside move, faking outside and then coming back in. Almost like a two-step move you'd see in the NBA, driving to the hoop on a layup. Very similar thing. The guy is very, very quick. At 6'2", 245, he's got adequate size. Some good measurables as well. And I think we really got something here, man. It's rare to see a six-round pick who actually has that kind of production with 30 career sacks. 30 is a lot, man. 30 and a half. I'm sorry. 23 reps on the bench. The boy's been putting in work, too. So he could probably beef up a little bit more than what he is. These are young guys. You now get you into a professional environment as far as the weight room and the coaching staff. You get those guys in front of them. And I think you really might be onto something here.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that every single player that comes out of the draft, if they have even a slight bit of good work ethics or, you know, how good they work, they're going to put on weight. They're going to increase their muscle size. They're going to lose weight if they need to in certain areas. They're going to become a better physical, for lack of a better word, specimen for these teams because they get put into an NFL weight room. They get put on these different regimens. They're not in school anymore. All their time and energy, unless they're out playing Fortnite like Juju, is focused on football. So expect to see him beef up a little bit and expect him to definitely put on maybe a little bit more weight. So
yeah, I mean, realistically, you look at a guy like, say, James Harrison came into the league at 6'2", 242. When he left, he was probably 260 plus. Just the natural progression of weightlifting in the NFL and being able to afford a better quality nutrition. You're going to get more protein in your diet than what you did in college and leaner protein, too. So I'm looking forward to the fact that we're actually going to have a backup outside linebacker who can rush the passer. We haven't had it since last year when Alex Highsmith was the backup.
Yep.
Previous to that, I mean, Anthony Ciccolo was number one for a few years there. He didn't add anything. I don't even remember before that the last time we had a backup outside linebacker who could come in and actually threaten to get to the quarterback.
It was probably back when James Harrison was a backup, if we're being honest.
Yeah, when he was the backup to Joey Porter.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was probably the last time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be awesome to see. Then next pick, at 245, our first pick in the seventh round, we went with a safety/cornerback named Trey Norwood out of Oklahoma. And Trey Norwood was introduced, or I should say announced, by Mike Tomlin, who, again, I mentioned this earlier in the show, announced him as the Swiss Army knife. If that doesn't tell you that we plan on using him in multiple ways, I don't know what else does. Expect him to debatably play at cornerback, to play at a safety position, maybe even play at the weird dime safety position where like a dime comes up into the middle linebacker section of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Expect this guy to be used in different ways and honestly expect it early and often. I don't see Pittsburgh not utilizing this guy right away with how lacking we are at depth on that defensive back position, all around, safety included.
And this was one of the things, too, that we talked about before the draft. We said Pittsburgh needed to prioritize getting a corner that could contribute early, and they waited until the seventh round to do it, which is a real questionable decision. But at least Trey Norwood, when you look at what his career arc has been, he started as an outside corner. That didn't go great. So they moved him to free safety / nickel corner, and all of a sudden production went through the roof. He starts getting a lot of interceptions. So this is a guy that when it's third and long, you put him in the slot and he can cover a guy and he's going to cover him well and he's going to get his hands on the ball a lot. You now have a guy also with backup free safety capability. We didn't really have that on the team. You had your starting safeties and a bunch of backup strong safeties and nobody that could play the free safety position. This is a guy that can play the free safety position. So look for him to be your backup nickel, maybe even a starting nickel, and a backup free safety, and probably help a bit on special teams as well. But as far as the capabilities there, you needed to address the nickel corner position. This is a guy that addresses the nickel corner position.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm not excited about this pick. I think I'd be lying with the loss of Mike Hilton, Steven Nelson, and potentially Justin Lane, depending on what happens with his arrest. That happened a few weeks ago in Ohio. This could be a massive impact on our defense moving on to this year. That I'm really curious to see what they plan on doing with him, and I'm really excited about the potential he has. Again, I just want to say, if you are joining us on Facebook Live, we thank you so much for joining in. We are recording episode 12 of Steelers by the Lake podcast, season 2021. We are just going over the draft picks, and we are now on to the last draft pick that Pittsburgh had. And I will have to say, James mocked us drafting a punter. Get the flex in there, James. Get the flex. James mocked us drafting a punter in his, I think, what was that, most recent draft?
My first mock. My first one.
He said, you know what, it's weird, but we need a punter. And you know what? This was weird, but we drafted a punter.
Listen, I want to be the first one out there to call this man PH3. Presley Harvin III, our new starting punter from Georgia Tech. That's right. It's not a competition. This kid's got a way stronger leg than Jordan Berry. Waitman couldn't
even get off. Well, his leg is the size of Jordan Berry, so there's that.
He's listed 5'11 and change, 263 pounds. That's bigger than our fullback. That's bigger than like all our linebackers inside and outside. And the guy's got guns too, man. This is the gun show. And what a leg. Holy crap. I just saw a video of him punting a ball from his own 21 to the other 4-yard line, and then he got it out of bounds so they couldn't return it.
Yeah, it hit right around the three or four and bounced sideways out of bounds. Yeah, it was incredible.
He coffin cornered him from almost 80 yards away. Are you kidding me?
I can't say that it wasn't actually an exciting pick, which I hate to say that because growing up and being a fan of football,
punters
and
are people
and
too,
not understanding punters, kickers, long snappers, whatever, but now seeing the value of their positions, and I think punter is a position that we've been weak at, and we have been put in bad situations time after time. And
we have not been able to put the other team in bad situations.
Correct.
A good punter puts the other team in bad situations. And we didn't have that, man. We couldn't get a good long punt when we needed one. We couldn't get a coffin corner to go into the end zone. Like, there was so much going on that you just didn't have with the appropriate punter on the team. So here it is, Presley Harvin III. I'm ecstatic about this pick. Joining us in the
Nick Webb,
chat here.
Do
Nick,
you
good
think,
to see you, buddy.
Do you think you guys will use Harvin as a backup lineman? I think we could if we wanted to.
Listen, realistically, backup QB. He had a 45-yard completed pass on a fake punt in college for Georgia Tech. Kid can almost throw the ball as far as he can kick it, and he can kick it almost 80 yards.
Yeah.
The thicker kicker that we got going on here, I am very excited about. Very smart move in my book.
Thicker kicker. I like it. PH3, the thicker kicker.
PH3, the thicker kicker.
You heard it here first. So that's going to finish up the draft. As far as undrafted free agents go, I'm gonna toot my own horn here for a second. I hit on another guy. One of my drafts, mock drafts prior to the actual NFL draft, I had us picking up a wide receiver, Rico Bussey, out of Hawaii. And my decision for this was Pittsburgh always typically picks up a wide receiver in the draft every year. This was like the first year, and I don't even know how long, that we didn't draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, right?
But Rico Bussey was the guy. Rico Bussey was the guy that I thought, if we go late with the wide receiver and he's there, that's the guy. He's big, he's fast, he's lean, but he can go up and make plays. He knows how to high point the ball. He knows how to break a tackle afterwards. He doesn't go down typically on first contact. He's the tough guy that you like to see in the black and yellow. Going great hand in hand with Juju and, you know, Chase Claypool, even James Washington. Oddly enough, Deontay Johnson is the one guy that I'm like, doesn't exactly fit the Steelers scheme.
Yeah, because he's smaller than everybody else.
Because he's small and quick. but yeah. So to my own horn there, Rico Bussey out of Hawaii was one of the undrafted guys we picked up. So look forward to seeing him in preseason.
Yeah.
I said it, preseason, because we're going to freaking have one.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. He went through his pro day and just... you weighed in at 6 foot, 186 pounds. A 4.49 40 is real nice from an undrafted kid. 38.5-inch vertical leap is very impressive, along with his broad jump was a 10.4 and 13 reps on the bench. You can pick him up and put him down, man. That's solid. And you know what? He's smart enough to go to Hawaii. If you're going to go to college, why wouldn't you go to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What a beautiful place.
I was not that smart.
Now, listen, another guy that I thought Pittsburgh would consider in the later rounds as a corner, Shakur Brown from Michigan. This is a nickelback specialist at 5'9 and almost 5'10 tall. He weighed in 185 pounds. His 40-yard dash was not amazing, a 4.61, but his short area quickness looks to be good based off of his 35.5-inch vert, 9.8 on the broad. And he put up 17 reps on a bench. That's really good for a small corner.
That
like
is
that.
Very good.
So it also worth noting, the Steelers typically don't give out much for signing bonuses on their undrafted guys. Shakur Brown, they gave him $25,000. I don't know when the last time was Pittsburgh gave any of their undrafted guys more than about 10 grand on a signing bonus. So they really wanted him. This is someone who can compete day one for the starting nickel position. I want to say he had 6 picks last year for Michigan State.
We'll take those.
This is a guy who's getting his hands on the ball and making things happen. So definitely cool to see there. Next guy, Calvin Bundage, a linebacker from Oklahoma State. 6'2", 221. Not real fast, not real strong. Probably one of those hybrid safety slash linebacker type guys. I would not expect him to make the team unless he just plays his butt off, because the measurables just aren't there. Now, that's kind of the opposite of the next guy, Mark Gilbert out of Duke, Cody.
Yeah, cornerback, 6 foot, 186. That was what he measured in at. He ran a 4.49. Excuse me, not a 4.49, a 4.36.
Yeah.
Woo! Much faster. I was looking at Rico Bussey again. 4.36, that is blazing speed. And if you can come in and, you know, compete for a nickel position on our defense, you're going to, like, if you can make plays, that speed already has you at an advantage over the other guys. He's probably the fastest corner on the team now.
Day one, yep.
Yeah, and easily.
I would say he might even project more as an outside corner, which is good, because that's not something that they were really getting, and we need more of that in the future with Joe Hayden going into the last year of his deal. And Justin Lane, again, we're not sure what's going to happen legally, if he's going to end up suspended. He may.
James Pierre, we saw a little bit, but not enough last year to know anything.
Looked
he was an undrafted guy.
Looked good in the 7 plays that he had. I mean, that's not a lot
to
go off
of. He was a good gunner.
But Gilbert had a pretty productive college career until injuries hit. Missed the last couple seasons due to injuries, but projected as a much higher pick, minus all the injuries that happened. He ends up going undrafted. Pittsburgh scoops him up. So we'll get an opportunity to see what he can do this upcoming preseason. Also, Pittsburgh went and grabbed a wide receiver from Kent State, James Harrison's alma mater.
Isaiah McCoy, wide receiver, and weighing in at 6'2", 200 pounds. He did, I believe, 12 reps on the bench.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's not bad. I mean, he's 6'2", probably has pretty decently long arms. That's not too bad at all. Ran a 4.6, not blazing speed, but that's fast enough to, you know, if you're good at route running and you get a step on somebody, that's good enough to typically keep that step ahead. So there's some potential there. Again, I think the fact that they went out and they got two wide receivers in the undrafted free agents after not drafting one says a lot, that they're still trying to make sure that wide receiver room is full. Not drafting somebody again this year was probably the first time in at least 4 years that we didn't draft a wide receiver, if not longer.
Yeah.
So really excited again to see two wide receivers come in, both over 6 foot or 6 foot or taller, that can possibly make some big plays down the field.
Absolutely. We're going to go over the last couple undrafted guys, and then I see Corey Myers just joined in and asked a question. Corey, we're going to wrap up the undrafted guys and then absolutely address that with you. So that might be something you can pull up.
Oh, absolutely.
The draft classes of the Bengals, the Browns, and the Ravens. I wasn't impressed with theirs, to be honest with you. There were some good picks and some not-so-good picks. But I didn't think any of them knocked. Like, last year, I thought personally that the Ravens did an amazing job in the draft, and I didn't think so this year. So real quick, the last three guys that they got in the undrafted class. Donovan Steiner out of Florida, 6'1 and a half, 205, 4'5", 640, 15 reps on the bench on a 34.5-inch vert. So that's decent athleticism from a backup safety there. Lamont Wade out of Penn State. Weighed in at 5'9", 190, and a 4'4", 740, nice and fast, 35.5-inch vert, and 16 reps on the bench. So fantastic there as far as the athleticism from him. And then Jamar Watson, an outside linebacker from Kentucky, who actually looks like he might be able to compete a little bit. 6'2", 241, with a 4'6", 940, 19 reps on the bench. So adequate there for a undrafted guy. But what do we got here on these other draft classes here? So the Browns in the first round went Greg Newsom. That's a good pick on the corner. They needed another corner for sure. He's a very well-rounded one. Their next pick, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a lot of people had him as a first-round selection. He slides to the second to the Browns because he doesn't have a real home. No. Right? Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? He's not as explosive as Jabril Peppers, but probably compares to him. Peppers is what, on his second or third team by now?
Yep.
Because he just can't really find a home. Anthony Schwartz, they took in the third round there, was one of the fastest guys in this draft, but he can't catch worth a darn. So that's kind of relieving. When you see him get behind our DBs, you almost don't have to worry that much because he's probably not going to catch it anyway. Hudson was a offensive tackle out of Cincinnati. Actually looks pretty decent. And then the guys post that didn't really impress me that much. So I don't think the Browns necessarily have as good of a draft as what some folks are calling it. Again, I would say Newsom is a great pick. But past that, I have some real questions other than I think Hudson was a good pick on the tackle.
Yeah, if we go ahead and look at the Ravens, they obviously went wide receiver actually more often than I thought they would in this draft. But Rashad Bateman, he's going to be a solid, probably number one, number two. He could probably come in and compete for the number one spot year one. That was actually a decent pickup in my opinion for them. Jason Owa, I don't really have an input on him.
Yeah, he's the highly athletic outside linebacker from Penn State. So freak athlete with not great numbers. If they can coach him up like they did their previous outside linebackers, then he'll do really well for them.
Yeah.
Ben Cleveland, the guard out of Georgia. A lot of people had him later in the draft. I thought that was kind of early for Ben Cleveland, but a very powerful guy. His only weakness when we looked at him was guys getting under his pads. So if they don't coach him up on that, then look for Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt to put him on skates from time to time. And then Sean Wade, their corner that they got real late in the draft, is a real good nickel corner. If they try to put him on the outside, that might not go so well.
Yeah, that was someone that we had talked about previously, that last year for Ohio State, he played very well on the outside. And then this year when they moved him inside to the nickel position, didn't have quite as good of a year. And that played into his draft class being picked, you know, that late. Last year, had he gone out, he probably would have been picked a lot earlier than that. Playing outside didn't help him in his draft projection or where he was picked. But probably arguably the most exciting pick that we think they got for the two of us, I think at least, is Ben Mason, the fullback. That was somebody that James and I both discussed a lot about. They call him Big Ben. Would have been nice to get a new Big Ben after the other Big Ben leaves.
They got both Big Bens, Ben Cleveland and Ben Mason in Baltimore. Baltimore's nothing but Ben's now, apparently.
Yep.
I thought Patrick Ricard was one of the more dominant run blockers in the league. He's gone now, so... there you go, Ben Mason, their new starter there. Nick Pretzel, thanks for joining in the chat here, man. Any questions, throw him in there. He's going A- here. Are you talking about
The our Steelers draft grade. Drafts? Steelers draft grade. He said A-.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad call, man.
Yeah, he said, my reasoning is I think there were some more pressing needs, but they went for the best available on Steelers picks. I can't argue with that. I can a little bit. I don't think in the second round they did best available. I don't think the best available player in the second round was Pat Freiermuth. I thought it would have probably went one of those offensive linemen, but that's beside the point. I think for them, it was there, though. They had him highly rated. He fell to them. He shouldn't have been there. I get it. But moving on to the Bengals draft, Ja'Marr Chase.
Heck of a pick, man.
Phenomenal pick, especially because they already have...
For one thing. Okay, so Ja'Marr Chase is an amazing wide receiver, right? They've got his college quarterback, right? So he's going to be throwing to him now. But why in the world do you pass up on Penei Sewell if you're the Bengals? This is a generational left tackle, and you passed him up. I don't know, wide receiver was one of the deepest positions in this draft class. You could have probably got all kinds of wide receivers later, and they went that route instead. So, hey, that's on them.
I can guarantee you, and obviously I can't guarantee you, but this is just my train of thought is the Bengals said, hey, we finally have a franchise quarterback. We didn't have it in Andy Dalton. The last time they had anyone good was Palmer, and that didn't end anywhere near the way they wanted it to.
Team of an whole offense.
And they said, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they asked, hey, if they asked Burrow, do you want us to get you someone to block for you, or do you want us to get you your old passing mate? And I guarantee you,
he wanted the weapon.
He wanted the weapon. And that's because he's only been in the league 1 year, got hurt. You think that would have been enough to prove it, that you need to get protection. But anyways, I think that they are going to regret that pick more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't care what numbers Ja'Marr Chase puts up. Penei Sewell would have protected him from probably 5, arguably, to 10 sacks he's probably going to get this year.
Yeah, and the guy they took in the next round, Jackson Carmen, is actually a pretty good offensive tackle. But again, you could have had the best offensive tackle. So to get a second tier one when you could have had the best one, interesting decision for sure. Tyler Shelvin is like the biggest nose tackle in this entire draft class. So that's going to be an interesting one for Pittsburgh to try to block up, especially when you're talking about the new center being 305 pounds and Tyler Shelvin's about 360. So good luck moving him. And then I am a little bit worried about a guy they took later on. If he's got that shield, I don't know how the heck you're going to stop that running back.
Yeah, Mr. Chris Evans, Captain America himself.
Actually had a really good pro day.
He did.
So Chris Evans, an interesting depth piece for them. But I think Pittsburgh compares pretty favorably to these guys, honestly. So I think they did well. I wasn't overly impressed with any of the division rivals as far as their draft classes. Some good picks, some that I think were just not that great of a move. Very, very mixed as far as my thoughts on it, for sure.
Yeah. So again, we're super excited to see what's going to happen. I say this all the time. I literally use the two words super excited, probably in every episode. But it's just my emotions. If you know anything about the Enneagram scale or the Enneagram numbers, I'm a 7 all the way. If you don't know, look it up. You'll understand more about me right away. But it's going to be awesome to see what happens. I again think that the top 3, arguably even 4 guys, maybe even the top 5 guys could be starting by the end of year 1. I think that's going to be big. I also think, hands down, those guys will all have the biggest impact out of overall. Don't be surprised if next year they redo the draft and you have 3 or 4 Pittsburgh Steelers guys going in the first round again. I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
Yeah, absolutely. If Freiermuth does what we think he can, Najee is incredible. We got a starting punter in the 7th round, man. Anytime you can get a starter at any position in the 7th round, I'm in there. In these offensive linemen, there's some nice potential there. So I'm really excited about this draft class.
Probably you're not super excited.
I'll leave that for you.
That's fair. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for hopping on the Facebook live stream, asking us questions. Huge shout out to those of you that have recently given us 5-star reviews. We had one review come in today. No actual comment with it, but we did get a 5-star review. If you guys get the chance, Apple Podcasts, go ahead and give us those 5-star reviews. If you write a review, we will absolutely read it on the podcast and give you a huge shout out. Just trying to get our names out there. Expect to be interested in, we might be trying to get some merch in the next year for you guys, debatably. We'll have to wait and see what happens. We're in the process of working on things for that. So again, we can't thank you guys enough. One more question from Nick Pretzel. Again, how about those free agents that were on undrafted? Any thoughts on them? Actually, Nick, we already gave the thoughts, but we'd be more than happy just to run over to the couple of them. Shakir Brown, we thought he could have been picked up in the sixth or seventh easily.
Yeah. Yeah. So we think they did well as far as the wide receiver from Hawaii, some nice potential, Enrico Bussey. Both corners, there's nice potential. Shakir Brown more in the nickel. Mark Gilbert is going to probably translate more as an outside guy, but with elite speed. And then both safeties from big programs, and you've got really nice athleticism from Lamont Wade, but a little on the smaller side, and nice size from Steiner, and adequate as far as the athleticism. So I think there's some real possibilities for some of those guys to possibly sneak onto the back end of the roster. And definitely as far as the practice squad potential there too.
Yeah, one last announcement before we go. We will be going to training camp this year. If they open it up in La Trobe or wherever it's at, James and I will be going. We don't mind going with people. We don't mind meeting people there. If you want to go with us or if you want to meet us there, hit us up. Message one of us on Facebook or Instagram or reach out on Twitter. Do whatever you have to do. Email us. We look forward to seeing the Steelers practice once again since last year we were unable to. And we cannot wait to spend time with you guys, whether it be virtually in conversation or in person. So last thing, Nick, you know I'm going to buy that merch, and my bad, had to join later because of work. No worries, Nick. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for tuning in. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.